What a beautiful reminder. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, please. Thank you for that. What a beautiful reminder that wherever you are, God can take the ashes that you feel into your life and make you beautiful and give you a garment of praise. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that. If I can't help but I have to say this. You may be thinking, if you've not been here in a while and you come back and you go, "My Lord, what have they done with my church?" They done went Pentecostal on me now. I'm going to tell you something. We're not going Pentecostal. We're not going assembly. We're not going Catholic. We're not going anything except what's in here. We preached several weeks ago about my vision. What the Lord has given me is the vision for this church, for Dolan Baptist Church. Those are that we're going to be a welcoming church. Remember W3? We're going to be a welcoming church. We're going to welcome. Okay. We're going to be a church that's based on the Word. That's based on the Word. And if you have in your mind that the way to worship is to stand reverently before the Lord, that is okay. But you can also find where people like David danced before the Lord. And guess what? That's okay too. That's okay too. I think some of us are going to be surprised when we get to heaven. We're going to find out that there's all kinds of worship. There may be even new kinds of worship that we ain't ever seen. But when we think about what Christ has done for me, what Christ has done for you, how can we not give Him our very best? How can we cheer and root more for a kid that hits a home run in a baseball team than we can for the one who saved us for all of eternity? Whew! Sometimes I just think that the Lord it looks at us and go, do they really get it? I wonder if they really understand. Because what I gave them was something pretty awesome. And they're more fired up. How many of you have ever been in a storm before? We've had some storms here lately, right? We've had some storms. And what I found is what happens in the storm is I always find something I've not prepared for. Okay? Now, we lose power out where we live, out at Lake Waterville. We lose power quite frequently. And I have a generator. Well, it's got gas in it, but it's old gas. And so I know that if I went out and tried to crank that thing up, I'd throw my back out just trying to crank it up because it's not going to start because I've not prepared that. I've got the equipment. I've just not got it prepared. Okay. Now, I keep oil lamps in the house. I have an oil lamp collection. Okay, but almost all of my oil lamps are working oil lamps. And I keep them there because we lose power so much. And I keep my Coleman stove with the propane right handy, and when the power goes out, I go out there, I light up the oil lamps, grab the Coleman stove, set it on top of the electric stove, and I'm cooking breakfast. We never miss a beat. We're making coffee, cooking breakfast, and it's a good old time at the Nick's house. But it seems like every time something happens, I realized, you know what, I prepared for this, this, and this, but I forgot to prepare for this. I didn't think to prepare for this. And so my question is, are you prepared? Because storms come. If you lived up in Kansas, you would probably have a basement or some sort of storm shelter either at your house or very nearby. Okay? Why? Because they have a lot of tornadoes up there. They have a lot of potential for tornadoes. When there's a storm coming, they come very quickly. Right? And there's not enough time to go dig you a basement right quick to get ready for the tornado. Right? When you see the twister on the horizon, it's too late to go dig down and get deep and get sheltered. Okay? You need to have done that in advance. Amen. It's easy to understand that in the sense of a physical storm. It's not as easy to recognize the need to prepare in advance for the spiritual storms that come. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. The need to be prepared in advance for the storms that are going to come our way. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 says, or it helps us to understand one of the first steps of this digging in spiritually. And it says this, "And let us consider how we might spur on one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You see, one of the first things that we need to do to dig in is to be part of a church. Don't give up meeting together. It's important for your spiritual health to be at church. It is through the church that you build those relationships that will help you weather the storms of this life. Proverbs 10, verse 25 says this, "When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever." Trials reveal what kind of foundation you have, right? You know the old story about the wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. When the storms come, they're going to reveal the foundation that you've laid. In the middle of the storm is not the ideal time to go try to build a foundation. It's not the time to dig in. The title of this message is, "Now is the time to dig in." Now is the time to dig in. Now is the time to strengthen your faith. Today is a day to firmly plant your roots in the local church and sew yourself into the fabric of the body of Christ. But it's more than that. There's Bible study that needs to be part of that digging in. Bible reading, which is different than Bible study, by the way. Bible reading, you're reading and you're getting something from the reading the Word. But when you study it, you dig down even deeper. You see, you're lowering that basement a little bit further to get you closer to where you're good and safe and sheltered. Digging deeper. Quiet time. Having a time alone with the Lord. Some people do that early in the morning. Some people do it late at night. You may do it at lunchtime. Whenever you do it, keep on doing it. If you're not doing it, start doing it. Start doing it. That will deepen that foundation, deepen that basement, provide you better shelter. There's prayer time. There's worship. Worship is key, folks. Worship is key. These things help build a foundation. They create the storm shelter, which enables you to withstand the storms. Are storms coming? Sure they are. How do we know that? Jesus told us, "In this day you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." You see, He is a shelter. He's a shelter. And He tells you there's going to be storms. There's going to be trouble. I ran across a quote this week, and it simply said this, "Public victory comes from private discipline." And it really struck me. It really struck me this week because who you are publicly and who you are privately, if they're different, then there's an issue. There's an issue. Public victory comes from private discipline. Who you are is not established in public. Who you are is established in private. And who you establish yourself in private as will come out in public. Now, if you're ready to do the hard work now, you will be ready when dark days come. Verses will come to mind which will encourage you. How do they do that? Because you've read them. Because you've studied them. Because you've written them on your heart. Your first response will be to turn to God and to worship Him. Instead of going, "Oh my Lord, what am I going to do now? I've got this big situation, it's big hairy, and I don't know what to do, and I'm concerned about it." You see, when you've prepared yourself for the storm, you can turn to God and say, "Lord, that's out of my control. There's more than I can handle. And Lord, you told me you wouldn't put anything more on me than I can handle, so I need you." And you and I, we can tackle this thing together. I know that. Not because of my strength, but all because of you. You will have people positioned to hold you up in your weakness. When you build those relationships and establish those relationships, particularly in church, those people will come. They know what's going on with you because you're close with them. And they can come and they can lift you up and support you and say, man, I know you're having a rough time. I don't know all the details, but let me just pray for you. And let me tell you something. When I was sitting down here a little while ago, I threw my back out this week. I'm struggling. But when I'm weak, he is strong, right? I was struggling. And some men just came and said, can we pray for you? You have no idea what that means. Maybe you do. Some of you do. If you know what that means, raise your hand. Is it a big deal? Is it a big deal when somebody just comes up to you and says, man, I know you're struggling. I don't know what all's going on. May I just pray with you? Let me tell you something. That means something. That means a lot. And to not have that, oh, my friend, I wouldn't want that for anything. I want to have friends that love me and care for me, want what's best for me, want what God wants for me. And if you don't do that now when the trouble comes, who are you going to turn to? God's there. Yeah, but we also need brothers and sisters who are going to come and wrap us up and hold us up sometimes because when it gets difficult to stand. We need people we can come to that'll come to us and lift us up. I'm not trying to run this idea into the ground, but if you wait until you're in trouble and then try to find support, strength, and encouragement, you're going to suffer a lot more than you have to, unnecessarily. You can have friends, you can have wealth, you can have possessions, a large family, and think that that is enough. Just ask Job how that worked out for him. Okay? He lost his wealth. He lost his possessions. He lost his family. And the friends he had, now he had some friends. The friends he had were not the best of friends. Okay? But it was not until he understood who God is that he found the resolve to make it through the storm. You need to dig in. How do you do that? You get involved in the local church. You establish yourself in the local church. You build those relationships. You begin to study God's Word and read it and memorize it and ingest it into to where it becomes the fabric of your being. That it dictates how you say what you say, when you say it, who you say it to, who you don't say it to. Now is the time to dig in. Now is the time to build that solid foundation. Now is the time to have a disaster preparedness plan. We were in a hotel this last week. Rebecca spoke at a ladies' retreat down in Galveston. We were down there. And did you know, if you stay in a hotel, you probably know this, but when you close the door, you walk into the room, you first thing you do is you go turn the air conditioner on, right? And you come back and you get your suitcases. But on the back of the door, there's usually some directions and rules, you know, and then there'll be a map. And it'll say, you are here. In case of emergency, this is your exit route. Go down the hall to the right. Take a left, don't use the elevators, go to the stairs, go down the first floor, go out the front, whatever it is. Okay? They're required by law to post that for their guests. The hotel managers have made provision for you to look at that diagram and at least have a plan in case of emergency. Now, do they want to have an emergency at the hotel? No, they do not. But they know that things happen sometimes, and they want you to be prepared in case there is an emergency. You need to familiarize with that route. You need to practice and drill for the upcoming storm. You need to have some things in place for the storm. Are at school. My wife teaches school. They have fire drills. How many of y'all remember fire drills? How many of you remember having a tornado drill? Okay. How many of you are old enough, did they ever do the bomb threat drills? Yeah. Okay. You see, they do these things. They say, okay, this is not real, but if it were, what would we do? Here's the plan of action in case this disaster comes upon us. Why do they do that? Why do they drill those things? Why do they practice those things? To be ready in case it happens. Do you know what's coming up tomorrow? Do you know what's coming up in your life? No, because those storms, they come fast. There's no warning. I was listening to my beautiful daughter-in-law tell me the story of one of her, I believe it was a coworker. She was headed over in Willis. She was driving through, and she began to see some raindrops fall, and it got a little worse. And then she said, you know, this is too bad. So she turned around, and right back where she had just been, trees were down, power lines were down, and raining hard, wind and limbs everywhere, that fast. And she had no idea. How many of you have had a storm in your life? Now, I'm not talking about the physical limb through the ceiling kind of storms. I'm talking about the hurt storm, the disappointment storm, the storms of betrayal, the storm of depression. How many of y'all have had those kind of storms in your life? Yeah, we have those kind of storms. And they come up quickly. It's not like you get this warning and it's like, okay, on Tuesday of next week, not this week, but the next week, Tuesday of next week at 3 o'clock, you need to be ready because there's going to be a storm. We don't get that warning, folks. We wake up one morning and the storm has already hit us. You better be ready. You better be ready. You better have dug in. There's this movement out there, and they've even got a TV show about them. I don't watch it, but I've heard about it, called Doomsday Preppers. Y'all heard about them? These guys, they're fanatics. They go and they buy these great big containers and stuff, and they bury them in the backyard and create vents, and they secret passageway sometimes, and where they can lock it in case of a disaster of any kind, whether it be the zombie apocalypse or whatever their fear is, you know. But they have this place, and they have it, guess what? They have it stocked with food. They'll have food down there, medical supplies, ham radios, whatever. I don't know what all they have, but they have all this stuff stacked down in there. Now, from time to time, they have to go through and update their supply. Take the old stuff that's expiring or going out of date or whatever, bring it out, cook it up in the kitchen, and stock with new stuff down there, right? Because they want to be ready just in case that disaster comes. They do this because they believe that something's bad is going to happen. Okay, now sometimes they have a pretty pessimistic outlook, but they really believe that something bad's about to happen. Something bad's coming. Well, guess what? We can have that assurance also. Something bad is going to come. Something bad is going to come. How will you stand against it? How will you survive through that storm? What is it that's coming for us? I'm not entirely sure. But I know, like I said, I know there will be trouble because Jesus told us so. There will be heartache. There will be disappointment. There will be loss. There will be attacks. Wouldn't it be smart to be prepared? Friend, let me just speak with you this morning. If you are not prepared, now's the time. Now is the time to dig in. Now is the time to unite with other like-minded men and women. We call that the family of God, Christian brothers and sisters. Unite with them. Get to know them. Tell your story. Create those lasting relationships that you will need at some point down in the future. I know that when I've had tragedy strike our family, when we've lost a loved one or when I seem to be the tragedy most of the times in our family, when I slide into second base playing church league softball and break my leg and have to spend 6 months at home. Guess what? The relationship that I had established during that time, they're the ones that came over. They're the ones that came over and put new brakes on Rebecca's car because I couldn't do it. They're the ones that came over and said, you know what? We know you're not working. You still got bills to pay. Here, let me pay your bills. They're the ones that came over and said, I know Rebecca just got home from work and you can't cook for yourself. Let me just make some stuff that you can cook during the week, really just heat up. They're the ones that come and do that. And you have stories like that too. You have stories where people have come to your aid during times of need. But it's because you've begun the digging in process. Some of us need to dig a little deeper. Some of us need to dig a little deeper. And I'm not just talking about with friendships. Some of us really need to get down to what really matters, and that's the Word of God. The security that is eternal security. Okay? Now, a storm shelter is good because it can get you through a storm. But a storm shelter, you can't live in it for all of eternity. The Bible says that there is one way to get eternal security. And that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Maybe you're here this morning and that storm has hit you and you have not been able to dig in. It's caught you off guard and the stuff is swirling around you and the debris is flying in your head and you're caught off guard and you've not had time, you didn't have warning and you had not prepared to dig in. Let me tell you something. Look around you. There are people that have storm cellars. It's not your own storm cellar, but it can get you through the storm. And then when the storm's over, you can come out and you can start preparing for the next storm. That way you have a place. You have an establishment. You have a network to draw from. You can root yourself in the Word of God and trust that even the storms of this life aren't the end. I'm not sure where you are this morning. Maybe you're in the storm. Maybe you've just come out of the storm. When you come out of the storm and you've been safe in your basement, your storm cellar, and you come out, very seldom does life just go right back to normal because there's cleanup to do. Oh, there's repair work to do. Right? Well, guess what? We can help each other do some repair work too. We can help each other do some cleanup work. But folks, if you don't dig in, if you don't establish that right now, you're not going to have that. You're going to come out of the... But you've been hiding in the closet, in the middle of the house, under a mattress, and that's the best shelter you've got. You're going to come out and you're going to go, what am I going to do now? My house is destroyed. What am I going to do? You're going to come out of that storm and go, my family is torn apart. And I have nobody to turn to. What do I do? I would like to know some scripture, but I haven't studied the Word of God, so I don't know any scripture. Can somebody please tell me some scripture that would help me in this time? You see, you don't have anything you can lean on. Now is the time to dig in. Establish yourself. And I'm going to tell you, this church right here, this is a good church. You can ask some of these people that have come back for homecoming, you can just ask them about the history of this church. This church is a church that is based on the Word. It is a church that is loving. I've been told that, I can't tell you how many times. Two things I get about Dolan Church. They love people and they sure can cook. And we're going to find out about the cooking here in just a few moments. This is a good church. It's not the only church. There are other churches. Let me tell you something. What I tell our visitors and guests and somebody that's thinking about joining this church, here's what I tell them. You've heard me say this before. If this is where God wants you to be, then man, we want you. You come. We're going to wrap our arms around you. We're going to love you. We're going to support you. We're going to help raise you up. We're going to help dig that. We're going to come over to your house and help you dig that basement. Okay? But if the Lord is not bringing you here, then you find wherever that is and you go there. You go there. If that's down the road, that's great. If that's across town, that's fine. But you go where God's calling you to be. Does two things. One, because if you're not supposed to be here and you're here, you're bringing some stuff that I don't think we want. It's displeasure of God because you're not where He wants you to be. Okay? We want you to be where God wants you to be for your sake and for ours. There's a little selfishness in there, but that's okay. We want you to be where God wants you to be. If that's here, sign us up. Sign us up. We want you. We want you. There's a place. There's a place here. I said here a while back that Dolan Baptist Church is a church for anybody, but it's not a church for everybody. And we know that. But there is a church for you somewhere. If that's here, dig in. If it's somewhere else, go there and dig in. Get solid. Dig that foundation. Be prepared for the storms. Now, if you're here this morning and you think, you know what, Dolan really is the place for me, we would love to have you. During this time we're about to have called the invitation time, the altar is going to be open. Folks, there's been a lot of activity up here this morning. And that's great. I love that. Because it means the Spirit of God is moving. And it takes pressure off me because the Spirit of God is moving without me even saying a word. I love that. The altar will be open. My wife will be up here with me, Rebecca. She stands up here because sometimes women just want to pray with women. And that is great. And that's why she's up here with me. I'm also going to have one of our deacons and his wife up here. I believe. I'm not sure who that is, but somebody will be here. And they're here for you to pray with also. You can come to any of us and pray with us about whatever's going on. You can bypass all of us and go straight to the altar yourself. Amen. And that is perfectly fine. Amen. That's perfectly okay. But this time of invitation is a time of response. Whatever the Lord has been putting on your heart this morning, and maybe you're just overwhelmed with gratitude, that's okay. You can respond with that. You can come and say, I just want to say that thanks to God because He's awesome. My God is awesome. He's amazing. And He's mine.
Amen.
We could write a song about that. Maybe you're just coming out of the storm. Maybe you're in the middle of that storm and you can't even see the sky right now. It's dark. It's gloomy. There's debris flying in the air. There's hail. The car is damaged. The roof is leaking. And the walls are starting to come down. Now's the time. You can begin digging in the middle of the storm. Get under some debris. Get down. Get low. Get low. What does that mean? Be humble. Get low. Recognize that God is bigger than I am. Get low. Lower yourself. You know, in the Bible we see people about pictures of people being prostrate before the Lord. That's a sign of reverence. Getting low, getting down as far as you can, recognizing that God is so much higher and I am way down low. But you know what He does? I love this because when we're down low and we recognize that, God reaches down and He picks us up and says, come on. Come on. You need to know that I've lifted you up. And I'm going to keep lifting you up. And I've clothed you with the righteousness of my perfect Son, Jesus Christ. Whatever your need is, folks, this is the time. And you respond.